The industries that are going to experience losses are primarily trade, transportation, leisure, and hospitality industries.
Projections say Southeast could lose hundreds of jobs this year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. What is the contribution of commercial fishing to Southeast Alaska's economy? Scientists with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Fisheries Service are trying to figure that out. NOAA Fisheries spokeswoman Julie Spiegel says the agency will send a questionnaire to selected fishermen and processors later this month, seeking information about their operations.
If we have a good idea of the contributions that fishing and seafood processing bring to the Southeast Alaska economy, it will help decision makers, local and state governments, businesses, and fisheries managers to make the best possible decisions that they can to hopefully increase the long-run economic benefits to those businesses and the communities they operate in.
The voluntary survey asks about vessel or processor size, labor, and other operational costs, and what portion of business spending is made in Southeast. Spiegel says it's the first time NOAA has collected this kind of data about Southeast fisheries. Southeast Alaska could lose about 400 jobs this year. That's according to a projection by the State Labor Department. But a regional economic development group is more optimistic. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
State economists project a 1% drop in regional employment in 2011. That would take job numbers from 36,200 to 35,800. Labor Department economist Molly Abrahamson says the losses will be spread around.
The industries that are going to experience losses are primarily trade, transportation, leisure, and hospitality industries. Some decline is going to be due to temporary census worker layoffs, and then we are also forecasting a slight decline in local government.
The local government projection is due to declining school enrollment as well as overall population. However, Abrahamson says continued strong state government, mining, and healthcare sectors will help even things out. This year's drop will follow a decade of up-and-down job numbers. They've ranged from a 2.2% loss in 2009 to a 1.7% increase in 2005.
Overall, I would describe the 2000s as pretty flat, actually, as far as employment goes in Southeast, you know, kind of bumping around, staying between 36,000 and 37,000 jobs.
One variable is tourism, which in Southeast is dependent on cruise ships. The state report projects about 100 job losses this year due to continued lower passenger numbers and a slow nationwide economy. Others expect tourism earnings to increase this year, which could mean some job growth. Juneau Economic Development Council Executive Director Brian Holst says that's in part due to a new line. The Disney Wonder will bring about 43,000 passengers during the summer season. Holst says they're more affluent than those on some ships that left the region.
That spending that will occur in an economy that is no longer in recession, I think we're going to see the tourism industry be stable. I certainly don't see reason to suggest that we should be pessimistic for this next year compared to last year.
The Labor Department report projects a stable seafood industry this year. It counts 1,300 processing jobs in the region and says that won't change. But it doesn't tally fishermen, deckhands, or others hauling in the product. Holst says he expects earnings to be up, which could increase the sector's economic impact.
That industry is experiencing higher prices, as there seems to be many factors, but demand is up. So I think we should anticipate that in general, the seafood industry should do as well in 2011 as it did in 2010. And since that is such a large employer, that also bodes well for us.
A new study by the fisheries advocacy group Trout Unlimited estimates 10% of Southeast jobs were tied to salmon harvests. The Labor Department also projected losses last year. In fact, the region picked up about 150 jobs. Abrahamson says 2010 was a mixed bag.
We saw losses in some places and gains in some places. And, you know, it was kind of like a lot was going on. There was movement in more of the industries. Our forecast for 2011 is just things are going to remain stable in the ones that they're going to remain stable in, that we're going to see really small declines in the ones that that are going to be responsible for the overall loss.
Southeast's relatively flat job rate compares to regular statewide growth for every year but one in the past decade. And the trend continues this year. The Labor Department expects Alaska employment to increase overall by about 1,800 jobs to more than 325,000. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
We're taking an in-depth look this month at Sea Alaska's Lands Bill, which will soon be reintroduced in Congress. Among its components is the selection of about 200 sacred sites. In part 5 of our 6-part series on the legislation, KCAW's Ed Ronco explains what the sacred sites are and why they're included in the bill.
The map from Sea Alaska Corporation shows tiny little blue dots sprinkled across the islands and inlets of Southeast Alaska. The dots mark the sacred sites chosen by the Regional Native Corporation in a controversial land selection bill working its way through Congress.
These are historic cultural sites that were used since time immemorial by Alaska Native people for a variety of uses.
That's Sea Alaska CEO Chris McNeil. He says the sites have been selected so Sea Alaska can make sure they retain their historical and cultural value.
Our future uses, you know, are very specifically limited. There's no timber harvest. There's no mining that's permitted. That's very clear in the legislation. These are not meant to be commercial sites, but they are intended to have reserve uses for, like, educational purposes.
An example of those purposes are cultural camps for young people run by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute.
And so we would anticipate that it could have those kinds of uses for the future, plus the inherent, and I think mainly the inherent preservation and protection of those sites, which are ours.
So back to the map full of little blue dots. Dot number 119, for example, is about 10 acres on the east shore of Kalinin Bay on Kruzoff Island near Sitka. It's a village site with petroglyphs, according to a summary list from Senator Lisa Murkowski's office. Dot number 198 is 2 acres on the northeast shore of Port Banks, south of Whale Bay on Baranoff Island, a seasonal village site, according to the list. Dot number 26 is 29 acres on the southeast end of Shaik Bay on Admiralty Island, a fort site. Jaylene Arujo is vice president and general counsel at Sea Alaska.
There's various categories of cultural properties. Some of them are old village sites, some are petroglyphs, some are shaman burial sites. So, you know, the uses would depend on the site. And we also plan to work with the tribes in terms of the appropriate management of each site that has ties to certain tribes in the area.
It looks good on paper, but trying to implement that stuff, it'll take some work.
That's Woody Widmark, chairman of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. He says he'd like to have sites in the tribe's traditional territory be included in a memorandum of understanding with Sea Alaska, an agreement that spells out how each entity, the tribe and the regional corporation, will be able to use and manage the land. This legislation as a whole has been controversial. It's included hours-long town hall meetings throughout Southeast, to say nothing of countless letters to the editors of various newspapers and lobbying efforts by people on either side. Again, Woody Widmark.
I'm glad that we had an opportunity to listen to people in Sitka, work with federal governments, talk to legislatures, and listen to our elders. I think that's good down the line, that at least you know what people are thinking.
Despite the controversy on the whole legislation, opponents of the specific sacred sites component of the bill are hard to find. For example, the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, or SEAC, has been a vocal critic of the larger legislation. But SEAC Communications Coordinator Russell Stegall says the group is focusing its efforts on the parts of the bill dealing with timber and native future sites, areas where commercial enterprises could be developed. The legislation was a major issue in November's U.S. Senate campaign. The bill's sponsor, Senator Lisa Murkowski, saw strong support from Sea Alaska board members in her write-in bid for re-election. Many of them worked on her campaign. And then-Democratic candidate Scott McAdams criticized the bill, saying sites should be managed by tribes, not corporations.
You know, I think that as a general rule, putting native lands back into native hands is the right thing to do. I think that the Sea Alaska Land Bill is a work in progress.
Arujo with Sea Alaska said the corporation has to claim the sites because no one else has the power to do it.
All the village corporations have essentially made all their selections, and we're the only ones left, really, that have a remaining native land selection. So if anybody's going to get ownership of some of these properties, we're the last ones standing.
We tried to reach tour operators and organizations for this report, stakeholders who would be likely to access the areas near sacred sites as part of their business. But those calls for comment were not returned. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Other parts of our Sea Alaska Lands Bill series can be found online through our website. You'll also find links to earlier reports and details on how to write a listener commentary. In a home team basketball update, Panthers boys played at home Monday and Tuesday against Heidelberg, losing both games 36-62 on Monday and 61-70 on Tuesday. They play in Hoonah this weekend. The Panthers girls' next game will be against Haynes next week. The Glacier Bears boys teams lost to Sitka last weekend. Varsity held a 13-point lead until the third quarter of their last game, though, against the Wolves, who recently dropped from 4A to 3A. The Glacier Bears varsity girls beat Mount Edgecombe late last week, then took three losses against Sitka. JV won against Sitka Saturday night. The girls play their first home game this weekend against Wrangell, with the boys playing in Wrangell. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.